London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. That was one of the first songs I remember my parents singing to me. And what's interesting is, even though it is a news message, they still have enough time to say My Fair Lady. We're really going to hit on a woman as we're discussing this bridge collapsing. We have enough time to point out her complexion. I never thought these English men were so forward. But maybe that's why the song's so popular. Anyways, this episode we talk about bridges, but the bridge between the conscious mind, the subconscious, and the higher conscious, it's falling down, fair listener. That's a compliment. It's Open Loops. Hello, Looper. So glad to have you. Welcome to Open Loops with me, Greg Bornstein, your consciousness disruptor, cultural hypnotist, and curator of the auditory experience. Yes, this is a late night talk show for the shamelessly fringe, a theme park for the intellect and imagination, an exploratorium, a center for unconscious provocation. Because what is an open loop exactly? We'll get to that in a little bit. This is the show about the topics that take us away from it all. Magic, hypnosis, the supernatural, the paranormal, the conspiratorial, the philosophical, and really, the deepest questions of them all, who and what we really are. My goal is to challenge your existing belief systems by sharing radically unique ideas designed to stimulate your unconscious mind and allow you to step into the highest version of yourself. Literally, my guest is doing the same thing. Now, she's not as much of a, let's say, aggressive consciousness disruptor. It's a little nicer with my guest, Katya Machocevich. Did I get that right? Oh gosh, I'm always going to get it a little off. I pronounce it fairly correctly multiple times later. Katya is awesome. I really like her energy. She comes from the land of Italy, and my gosh, she's very hypnotic. When she talks, you just go into a trance state. Actually, this episode has a lot of open loops going on. A lot of open loops, a lot of nesting, closing loops. Really interesting stuff. Listen to her. Listen for the metaphors. Listen for the learnings. And listen because, well, what I think Katya does a great job of is explaining the way consciousness relates to spirit, but more importantly, relates to practical things that you need to thrive in your life. I mean, she's talking about using the healing power of her mind to overcome fibromyalgia and a whole host of other things head-related. Katya describes herself as a transformational mind strategist. I love that. Really, she's well-versed in NLP and Reiki and tons of different energetic practices. It's curious the way she puts it together. I feel that hypnotherapy very much, and not the formal, you're going deep, that kind of stuff. Just that her work in and out of trances really over-encapsulated. She plays in the subconscious arena, and her goal is to get you to be able to naturally experience these healing powers yourself. The golden bridge, as it were. You're going to hear all about it. Katya, fun time. I love doing clubhouse rooms. We do these clubhouse rooms together. Mind Set You Free is her club. They usually happen every Wednesday. Really interesting stuff. Great group of entrepreneurs. She's asking fantastic questions too and answering them with different stories and metaphors. And she's good. She's very good. They're doing the good healing work over there in Italia, one of my favorite countries. And hey, if she can maintain this level of mental health with the amount of annoying American teenage girls that have ruined that great nation with Instagram photos on their spring break, that's an accomplishment. If you enjoy Open Loops, please make sure to follow this on Apple Podcasts, as well as rate the show and leave a review if you enjoyed the show. Even a few words can definitely help get this content out there a lot more. All right. You ready for the Wonder Woman of the Mind? Katya Maciejewicz. Here she comes. Today on Open Loops, we have the creator, the author of the deep intensive transformation method called Golden Bridge, a transformational mindset strategist, all the way from Italy, Katya Maciejewicz. Yes, she is, hypnotherapist, NLP practitioner, thought field therapist, emotional freedom technique, Reiki, Ho'oponopono, just meditation, energy medicine, a lot of different healing modalities. We're going to see how it all comes together. Katya, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. So happy to be here with you. Thank you for the introduction.
Of course. Yeah, to study so many of those different things, were you always curious about healing the mind and spirituality? How did you get into all of this?
Well, yes, Greg, I was always curious about it. I can tell you that at the age of 8, I was meditating, not knowing what I was doing, actually.
Really?
and there was a funny thing that at the age from 8 till 12, I think, in my dreams, well, I talked to, now don't get me wrong, I talked to some spiritual guides, and I thought that it's a normal thing. And then, you know, speaking with your friends, talking, I was like, telling them that, and they were like, what? And I was on the other side saying, like, what? You don't? Well, right. You don't talk to any spiritual guides.
Wow.
So funny. And I can tell you that I was born in a, let's say, non-religious family. I was not contaminated by any kind of external dogmas, you know?
Yes.
So I was free, but even my family didn't actually understand what I was talking about when I was a kid.
Wow.
But after I worked as a corporate manager for many years, but how I became a transformational mindset strategist, it's all related to my personal story of illness.
Talk about that. I'm curious. Yeah. What happened?
In November 2013, I just woke up one morning and I was unable to move. I was unable to speak. I had huge pain all over my body. And in the ER room, they sedated me because they couldn't relieve that pain with none, any painkiller could do the job. And in the morning, the doctor said, well, we see that you have fibromyalgia. And I was like, what's that? Well, actually, after you've been diagnosed, you learn that it's nothing and everything. So your body doesn't respond as a normal body. All your functionings are messed up, and the pain in your body cannot be shut down. So my body was twitching. I started to lose my sight. I was light sensitive. I couldn't walk. I couldn't move. I had so terrible pain.
Yeah.
And all lasted for 4 long years, in which I was diagnosed plus fibromyalgia. I was diagnosed with Lyme disease. Then I was diagnosed with, let's say that every cell in my body was poisoned with mercury and nickel.
Oh my gosh. What? Yeah. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's for some people, they would not believe that they had much longer left to live.
This was my concern too, because Lyme disease affects your heart and your brain. Cell poisoning, well, it's affecting every organ inside your body.
Yeah.
I had no energy, no strength. I was, oh my God, I lost 20 kilos. I was really a mess. The harsh thing was when I was traveling all around Europe to seek for help. And when you receive so many, no, we cannot help you because we don't know how. Yeah. It was devastating because you realize that you're alone. And it's not that no one cares, but no one cares enough to make some studies, you know, researches or whatever.
Yeah, but, right.
But at the same time, realizing that I'm alone and that no one can help me was my epiphany, because there was one morning that I was in my bathroom. I came there leaning on the walls with my trembled legs, and then I fall down. I hit my head on the floor and I start to cry. And I cried so out loud, and it was a soul cry. And I remember I was shouting out, help me, somebody help me. But it was referred, help me with my situation. I don't know what to do. And I don't recall how much time I was there on the floor. But when I got up with very much, I was struggling to get up. I was looking at my face in the mirror and I saw myself maybe for the first time. Not the face that was pale and my eyes that were so much, you know, proven. I looked inside myself and I found peace. There was a voice inside me that was saying, you have yourself, you will help yourself, it's okay. And that was my epiphany, actually. And from that point on, I started to study. I enrolled in academies. I became a life coach, as you said, mind coach, hypnotherapist. I have a master in neurolinguistic programming. I am an emotional freedom technique practitioner. I was already a Reiki master. Now it's for 25 years already. But then I started to learn about other energy medicine techniques as shamanism, shamanic medicine, the quantum reality, with then angelic rays that are very much powerful. And what I did, actually, I started to study, to research, to get knowledge. And then I used everything that I did to like an experiment on myself. So actually, I used everything that I gained with knowledge and my experience. And I took sheets of paper and tried one thing, second thing, third thing. And then if I found two things that were doing a job, I would choose the one who gets results faster. And it took me 2 long years to do all that and to create this golden bridge method that I translated now in a golden bridge program. And the thing that I realized is that we can change our beliefs consciously. It's not hard. It takes only the will. But, you know, you can do all the affirmations of the world. You can change your way of thinking, but it's not long-lasting. It's not long-lasting result. You have to dive deep in into your subconscious mind and go right there to the core.
Yes. Did you? So wait a minute. Are you healthier now?
Yes, I am healthy. I am great. I don't have any kind of pain, anything. I run, I do everything that I did before, and even the doctor from London cannot believe it. He was like, "What happened?" I said, "I healed myself."
Yeah, that is amazing. I mean, I, you know, so many people say that oftentimes psychiatrists and psychology students go to school, and people that become therapists, the reason they do it is so that they can give themselves therapy. And it sounds as if that was really your plan. I mean, you were consciously doing that. You were saying, I'm going to learn all these different things because I believe this technology I can use to work on myself. I mean, were you ever thinking of working with other people to do this too? Or were you really focused on getting rid of this first? What was your thought process as you kept going course to course?
I was concentrating on myself. I never thought about working with others. It all came naturally.
Yeah.
It all came naturally for me. And I'm so, my God, results are astonishing. The people with who I work with, when I see when they are, when they are starting, and after 10 weeks, my God.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So this is the creation of the Golden Bridge. What exactly is, do you have to do everything with everybody? I mean, do you teach them where to tap? Do you go through NLP processes? Or have you just taken all of those and created something entirely new? What exactly, what do you consider to be the Golden Bridge?
Well, good question. Golden Bridge is a bridge between our higher consciousness and our subconscious mind. I found that, I say always that our higher self has the golden key and our subconscious mind has a golden door. So accessing, making it possible to walk through in and out from our higher consciousness to our subconscious mind we are actually, what we are doing, we are reprogramming our subconscious, not deleting, but deactivating old limiting toxic errant beliefs, and we are replacing them with productive, healthy beliefs, and we are unleashing from our higher consciousness right into the subconscious mind our full potential that we have as human beings. And it's this method is it's a new one. It means that I took all the knowledge that I have and I created something new. And what does it mean, that something new? What's the difference there? The difference is that you don't have to relive any past trauma in order to heal it. You just don't have to. You don't have to relive the pain that's usually going with a psychotherapy, or you don't have to, because with the Golden Bridge, I have the access right to the subconscious mind. And how I do that, since I have so many clients and to work one-on-one, it's time-consuming for everyone. I have created a hybrid program. It's a 10-week program, and you have it's a digital course that you have my videos, my audios, and PDFs worksheets. So I'm leading you week by week, and everyone has 4 sessions with me one-on-one during the course. And what is the difference here? It's another one. I wanted to highlight why it is a radical transformation. Before I said that you can change your behavior, you can change your beliefs, you can work with affirmation, you can meditate and try to get better and try to release your better self, but it's a short term. Because if something you will see, I see many of my clients that have tried so many things, but everything goes well till something bad happens in their lives. And then they are back at the start.
Yeah.
What I found out while creating Golden Bridge is that working on the subconscious mind, it's not enough. Although it seems like just doing this, it's very difficult to access and to reprogram our subconscious mind, but it's not enough for a long-term result. Why? Because in addition, I found out, and this is all in my program inside, that we have to remove that toxic and errant informations from our energy field too, from our energy centers, because every trauma in our life has like a cord of energy attached on one of our chakras, our energy centers. So I call it from A to B, from B to A. We have to work on all of our aspects, I mean, mental, emotional, physical, and energetical. It's so, so, so much important.
Yeah. So then, yeah, because I definitely wanted to figure out what your, you know, Carl Jung has that whole thing about how everything, pretty much any issue you have, is in the unconscious. It's the unconscious, something unresolved in the unconscious coming to the surface. Yes, what is the quote? Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will control your life and you will call it fate. That's what Carl Jung said. And I know Milton Erickson, the great Milton Erickson, founder of, well, really, really the father of this indirect hypnosis. And in a lot of ways, where NLP came from, he was all about that too. He was all about accessing the unconscious resources. So you're telling me that, hey, look, if you make the unconscious conscious, that'll help, but there's an even bigger bridge to cross. Yeah, I mean, well, let me ask you this. For you, what did your did you do you have to go through step one? Did you personally have a period of your life where first you went, okay, I'm living consciously. Now here's my unconscious. And then you're going, that's great. Now I know my unconscious. Something's missing. How did you know that there was more than just what Carl Jung and Milton Erickson were talking about?
I knew because when I told you that I did all the experiments on myself, and I made my subconscious thoughts conscious, and it was fine for some time, but it didn't last long. You know, we are all living such a crazy lives that you cannot just pick one thing in your life and like reverse it. Okay, this is fine, but there is another one, another thing, another one. So we don't have that much power of clarity for everything in our life that is happening. We can go, I don't know, to sit on the Himalayas for the rest of our lives, and it would be very easy then.
Yeah.
But we are here in the chaos, and that is great to be here in the chaos and to come back to our innate power. And we all have the access to that. And yeah, the energetic form, it's a part of who we are. It's not a, you know, like a woo-woo science. Energy is very tangible. We can talk about energy of words. If I say love, what do you feel? What are you thinking about? It's something pleasurable, right? It's something smooth. And if I say hate, well, hate, it's a heavy word. And
Yeah.
how would you say that it's heavy? Because it's not the word itself, but it's all that it represents, not for you only, but on the collective level and right back from the beginning of the world. So hate, you can go back. This is another thing that in Golden Bridge I do, it's clearing ancestral patterns because this is a part of our energy too.
Yeah.
Know
See,
what I mean?
yeah. No, I do. I do. This is very interesting. I'm curious about the way you view the world then in terms of, I've spoken to someone. Actually, I did an interview earlier and I said, what do you think the unconscious even is? And her whole thing was that, well, I think when you're tapping into the unconscious, you're tapping into the collective consciousness, anyways. You are tapping into the higher consciousness. But clearly you think there is you can separate the two. So I'm curious in your view of the world, Katya, what do you how would you define the unconscious virtue versus the higher consciousness?
Well, subconscious or unconscious mind, it's part of ourselves. It's the hidden part, okay? It's like a basement that is closed with all the repressed emotions, repressed thoughts, everything that I always say that our first 7 years of life are the most crucial because at the seventh year of our life, we are our rational mind is formed. But before that, we didn't have it. So everything that we acquired, everything that we are acknowledged, and every belief that we created, there was someone else's belief. We just received it. We took it as a truth. So when I say your most core beliefs are not even yours, this is what I mean by that. And when I say higher consciousness is actually our soul. And when someone asks me what the soul is, well, look at you in the mirror, and it's everything that you see through your eyes on the other side. So your soul has the wisdom of this life, of many lives, of the universe itself. Our soul is actually connected to everything, to the energy grid that connects every one of us on so many levels.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, okay. Yeah, I it's very subtle, the differences, in the sense that there is a... I do hear this idea that the soul is a unique manifestation of the one source, the some call it God, some call it intelligence, some call it source energy, whatever it is up there. The soul is, do you, I guess if I were to, I'm picturing the chart of Katya. You know, what if you were to walk into a room and have a whiteboard, what you would draw on the circle? I'm almost seeing circles. I'm seeing source as the biggest circle, then higher consciousness as the circle inside of that, and then conscious mind and subconscious as the inner circle. Is that how you view it? Or would you draw that differently? How would you map it out for people wondering how it all connects?
Okay, I will tell you what I told to my granny when I was six. Okay.
Wait, you knew this when you were six? You could
I'll tell you the exact words. When I was six, my granny, unlike my parents, my granny's grandmother and grandpops were very religious. And she told me, "Would you come with me in church?" And I was like, "Why?" "Because we are there to learn about God." "And why in church?" I said. And she said, "Well, because it's there where God resides." And I was looking at her. That was my mother that told me that. She was like astonished. I was like, "But granny," I pointed right up of our heads, and I said, "See, granny, God is a big, big, big cloud, golden cloud. And, you know, we are little stars from that cloud that came right here to the earth. So, see, granny, you and I are those stars. So we are already God." So my view haven't changed after that. So it remained the same as when I was six.
That is, so wait a minute. You did all these courses. You went to all these trainers. You had to get fibromyalgia. And this whole time your six-year-old self knew more than everything else?
Yeah, and there is a reason. There is a reason too, because when I was 20 years old, I shut down the door to all things that were spiritual, because it was, I didn't know how to handle, you know, the this life, modern life, and my spirituality. So it was easier for me just to shut the door. And, you know, when you have, we all have our purpose in life. And when you go on the other way, your soul finds a way to show you, to get you back on your soul path. And I was very stubborn. I didn't want to go back because I was afraid, you know, of what? Of the power that I felt working with energy. And when you feel that, it comes along with, how do you say in English?
Responsibility. Yeah. So you were Spider Woman. You were Spider Woman back then. You knew it.
I knew it, right. You know, and when someone says, how it's possible that a 6 years old can say such things, where's the knowledge for where it comes from? This is our soul. This is our higher self talking.
Do you think secretly when people, I mean, maybe you don't tell them it's a secret, but when you work with people in your program, do they know that they're going back to the power that they had when they were 6 years old?
They realize it through the course, through the program, step by step. Yeah.
Yeah. Now that's pretty cool. You know, okay. So then I guess I'm wondering what exactly the experience of someone that has bridged these levels of consciousness together is, because I've definitely heard when you're living from your unconscious. I've talked to people who've said, yeah, I trust my unconscious. I had a guy that came to this interview, really, really, he did an interview with me, a guy named Martin Rothery. He created Sanomentology, which I've been promoting for a long time. It's using dreams and dream architecture to get personal change, that kind of stuff. He showed up to this interview and he said, Greg, I don't care how hard the question is you ask me, because my entire life I have trusted my unconscious to give me the answers, and it's always worked out. And even that is enough for some people. Some people can just trust that it's going to work out. They will speak. They're connected to a place of authenticity. They're coming from a place of truth. They are able to manifest the greatest thing for their unconscious. What happens when you bring in the higher consciousness? Where does life go next?
Oh, well, briefly, you're living actually your full potential. And from this point of view, now you just cannot imagine what it's like to live a full potential, because we are, even if we want to give a word to that full potential, it will be from this point of view that it's limited right now. You know, when you say, I want to be the best version of myself, I said always, leave it there. Don't add anything, because whatever you will add, you will limit, because you don't know of what you're capable of.
Yes.
So get surprised. Your whole perspective will change. You will see through the eyes of, oh my God, how to say that, of creation. You will not see any more obstacles. But what I mean, it's not convincing yourself to say, okay, obstacles are only stepping stones for success. No. You will know it from your gut. It will be encoded in you, because it will become not not become part of you because it's already part of you, but you will release it.
Oh, whoa. I want to meet these people who are, okay. What are some examples? I mean, you have to tell me something. What is like an example of someone that's gone through this process with you? Where was their life before and how did their life change?
My God, I can tell you, I had one of the clients that I had is a bipolar. Was. I don't like those like stigmas, you know, bipolar. I was depressed. I was having panic attacks, got depression while I was ill or, you know, back in time. And I don't like when people put those mental diagnoses because our brain is changes all the time. It's not fixed. Our mindset is not fixed. So if you're tapping into neuroplasticity, this is what they're talking about. So that client of mine diagnosed with bipolarity, depression, maniac depression for over 30 years. She was unable to speak with her family. She was always alone at home. And she had like manias of persecutions. And right. We worked for 3 months together. And this is my great joy. Now she is helping others with her story. She started back to draw. She's a very talented painter. She just lives. She doesn't think about if she's bipolar or is not. She acknowledged herself. We went through the childhood wounds. We made a reparenting. We cleared all those subconscious errant beliefs that caused her suffering. And even if she wanted to stop to using, drugs for her condition, I don't suggest anyone to do that because I'm not a doctor. Right. So this is an important thing that along with someone's therapy, they can take, come on board and go through the program. And the progressive, with their progresses, they go to their doctor and then I leave it to them, you know?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
So you help someone that was really struggling completely get on a different path. My gosh, it must be intense work. I mean, 10 weeks, you must be really going. Do you find yourself, I mean, does it change for every single person? Is one person are you taking someone more into a state of trance versus one person you're doing energy work? Or do you tend to run them through the same kind of process? What do you find these days, okay. Katya?
So in this program, everyone has the same program to go through, but I give them before the assessment test that it enables me to create individual hypnotherapy sessions for each person. So it's a group course tailored individually, and I do individually energy medicine sessions with them. So they have the basic stuff that they have to do all, and then plus individual.
I was going to say, what do you mean by energy medicine? Are we talking Reiki over the computer? Are we giving them? I know you studied shamanic healing. Are you giving them peyote? You know, ayahuasca? Like what are we?
No. I'm totally off that. Like, you know, ayahuasca and
I didn't think so.
You don't need that. You don't need it because when you rely on something external out of yourself to help you to get into some state, you become dependent on the something that it's outside of you to feel and experience something that you can experience by yourself because you have that inside of you.
Yes.
So there's no need to. So how it goes? It goes that I use shamanic medicine along with Reiki. They're very good together. And plus some my other techniques. And I clear the energetic field, our luminous energetic field around us from the informations of our subconscious mind, those errant informations. I clear and I reinforce our chakra centers. And yes, I use shamanic medicine for that. And this shamanic medicine is a shamanic energetic medicine.
Yes.
Okay. Then we are together going to reparent our inner child. And I, together with the client in a session, we are clearing together ancestral toxic patterns. So the much of the work is mine, and the minor is of the client in the sessions one-on-one. And the whole program is actually constructed to lead you with ease through all the reprogramming. So it's with ease and sometimes even with fun, because, you know, fun, we have to have fun doing things.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one says that it has to be dull.
Yeah, well, and that's what I wonder with, I mean, certainly with relationships. I think fun is the thing that is missing the most on the, because I know that, you know, you focus on healthy relationships, you focus on self-confidence, but also financial freedom. And I feel like fun and financial freedom they're more difficult for people. Do people like their jobs? Are people having fun at their work? Certainly with a relationship, you hope the partner that you're with is someone that is fun. It should be someone that you enjoy spending time with. It brings you up. But why don't we do that with our jobs? Why isn't work that way? Do you think fun is related to financial freedom?
Well, it's related to everything. We have to enjoy whatever we do. But to do that, we have to add, what are you bringing to others with your work? What are you doing? So if you are baking cookies, it's a wonderful thing. Think about all those kids that celebrates birthdays or something. Give love in what you do, like appreciation. Come on, you're changing someone's day. You know, when you taste a good cookie, I feel good. So thank you to the guy or to the lady that make them. So we usually get stressed because we are taking ourselves so seriously. You know, who you are. Usually when you ask someone who you are, well, I'm a director of, I'm a manager of, and why you are changing your tone so serious.
Yeah.
You know, a CEO or a businessman, it's not so serious thing. It's equal of being a chimney. I don't know. You know, it's a job. what you make with that. What changes are you making for yourself? Yes, but what changes are, what is the value that you give to the community, to the world? So let's have fun with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I I think it's a great thing. I mean, sometimes I'm wondering, should people just find the fun in the thing they're doing? Or is their higher consciousness telling them, hey, look, you're doing this right now because it's your job. Similar to you, you were in your corporate job. But do you think everybody's higher consciousness knows what they really want to be doing with their time?
No. The majority of people, they don't know. They do what they think they have to do. We raised up so conditioned by society, by family, by what is, you know, why at some point everyone, I remember like 30 years ago, everyone wanted to be or a doctor or a lawyer.
Yes.
And life is the only job that gives you prestige, you know?
Right.
And what I mean by that is that ask a 5 years old what he wants to do when he grows up. If you don't influence him with your stories, he will tell you exactly what makes him happy. And he would like to do something that makes him happy. And we find ourselves in some dull jobs doing everything instead something that brings us joy. So you see the gap when we are growing, the gap between when we are not under influence and what all that influence that where leads us to live such a dull life working for money. But it's not the thing to work for money. Enjoy what you do. Make it a passion and the money will come along. But this is the only way that money comes. So money, it's not the aim, it's just a result.
Yeah. The bridge, the golden bridge. What does that mean for you? I mean, now that you have crossed this golden bridge, when you walk through life, Katya, I mean, are you always picking up on people's auras? Are you more tapped into the universe than you ever were? Do you manifest things more into your life? What is your daily existence like?
Let's say that I'm true to myself, and this is the biggest achievement that I could have in life. I'm true. When you say if I tap into others' auras, I always did that, but now I know how to not be reactive, because it's not a good thing, you know, going through a crowd and pick everyone's emotions on yourself, and then you go home and you feel
yes.
like multiple personalities.
Right.
So you have to learn how to protect your aura and how to, in a healthy way, connect to others and read those patterns of emotions, thoughts. You just become more mindful, more thoughtful. It's easy for you to understand people. It's easy not to be judgmental. It's just so natural. You don't make an effort to. It's just the way you are. And
yeah.
We are all born like this. We are all born like this. Can you imagine a little baby that is born, so innocent. So that baby doesn't know anything except about love. Nothing. Everything that we learn is through others, what others think about us. Because when you are a little kid, a little baby, you don't know if you're black or white. You don't know if you're good or bad. You don't know if you're good looking, or you are not. And those are all you are or you are not. It's what we learn from others. Oh, she looks good. Oh, she's so a good child. Oh, you are nasty, you know?
Yes.
And so actually, whatever we believe about ourselves, I'm talking about those core, crystallized, subconscious, stubborn beliefs are not ours. Whatever we believe about ourselves, about the other people, about the world, if it's safe or it's not, if people are good or bad, if money is good or bad, if our partner is acting with love toward us or not, all those perceptions are not even ours. And through Golden Bridge, we just clean that mess and raise up the truth. And the truth is life, it's love, it's acceptance.
Yeah, you know, you definitely made me think a little bit about this idea of so much of spirituality is not necessarily, it's not always about what's out there to connect to. I think a lot of people get lost in that. They buy crystals. They want to connect to spirit guides. They want to see angels. But to return it to the self is it's such an interesting thing. I wonder what would happen. Do we change the world? I mean, or is this part of the journey of life? What is the higher conscious reason for making us lose track of ourselves? Why do we have to go through this process? You know, if I'm Greg Bornstein now, I want to say, hey, I'm going, why can't I be like 6-year-old Katya? Why can't I be my 6-year-old self all the time? What do you think the purpose of that is?
Well, it's very simple. We lose ourselves just to find, to experience the strength to go back to find our true self. So it's like, imagine a part of you, a part of your soul that is somewhere else, okay? Your higher consciousness, a part of your higher consciousness, is somewhere in one room that has many computers, many screens, and it's looking at you. And it says, okay, go. Okay, now I will give you this challenge. Let's see, come on, remember, Greg. Remember what have you learned. Remember who you are. Come on. And then, okay, he failed this time. All right, no problem. Now I will give you a little bit of joy. A little bit, but now I will challenge you with this one. Come on, you can do it because you have learned a step before you gained some other skills. Come on. You know what I mean? So yes. We are the one who are challenging ourselves. There's nothing out there to seek for. Everything is inside of us. I recall every time to the thing that I said when I was 6, pointing at a cloud above our heads And I said, we are the stars that fall down from that source. We are the source.
Yeah. Wow. This is awesome. You gave me some, it's amazing, you know, you hear similar themes from people in spirituality, but that's why these topics never get old to me, because the way you put it today was very different. It made me understand some truths about self-development and purpose that I hadn't thought of before, or at least they landed differently. Yes. Katia Maciejewicz, and she's not get look, I mean, we know in Italy they have delicious sauces, but she's not gonna put any ayahuasca in your marinara sauce. That just know it's all energetic healing, because everything's energy. Yeah, this is so interesting, and everybody should check out the Golden Bridge program if you want to delve deeper into this work. I appreciate you telling your story, Katia. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure.
Oh, great. Likewise. Wake up now. Did you catch that open loop? Did you catch the way it all looped together? She really is a connoisseur of the internal experience. I love it. Katia, thanks for coming on. I want to thank Ronnie McGilvery for the theme music. I want to thank you. Are you saying you're welcome every time I thank you? I don't care. You've already done enough by listening. So thanks. And by that I mean, there's a holiday coming up that I'm supposed to... There's lots of gratitude in the air right now. Go eat some tofurkey. We'll talk soon.